Welcome to Voices of Blessed Sacrament. Each week we break open God's Word and share stories of faith and family, all to help one another recognize and experience the presence of God.
Easter Sunday, the Gospel according to St. John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Jesus and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. When I was a kid, and to be honest, probably until not that long ago, Lent meant giving up chocolate or sweets, and later alcohol or some other vice. I never made it, of course. Just like New Year's resolutions, my Lenten discipline went out the window after a few temptations. But while I may not have stuck to the discipline itself, my guilt stayed. I felt guilty every time I indulged. So there was always a delicious relief when my eyes opened on Easter morning. I was free! I could indulge in that chocolate Easter bunny without one iota of guilt. It was heavenly. A little while ago, I read one of the Mitford books by Jan Caron. Father Tim, an Episcopal priest, wakes up on Easter morning, and the first thing he does is greet his wife, Cynthia, joyfully with, "He is risen!" And that's the reality of Easter to all of us. Come Easter morning, the minute our eyes open, he is risen! Lent is over and a new chapter is dawn. And it is a delicious feeling. But that's not how that first Easter unfolded at all. The disciples didn't wake up that first Easter morning joyfully. They woke up feeling incredibly heavy. This man, Jesus, the one they had given up their lives to follow, the one they believed was the Savior, was dead. He had been murdered in the most gruesome manner possible. Not only could they not believe their friend was dead, but they must have been feeling maybe almost a little used. Scripture doesn't say, but I can imagine that when they left their families to follow him, there had been a lot of disbelief. "You're going to do what? Give up your job? To follow an itinerant preacher? Really?" Or, "But what about your future? How can you be sure this is the promised Messiah?" And in the face of all those questions, I would bet that a part they probably tried to squelch and hide even from themselves, that little part whispered, "You'll see, Jesus is going to do something to prove I'm making the right decision." Like all of us, the disciples wanted the people they loved to approve of them. And my guess, there was some little part of them that whispered, "Jesus won't let me down. He'll show them." After all, the disciples were human just like us. Judas's lived actions reflect all of our humanity. So on the surface, It seemed Jesus had let them down. He hadn't made some grand gesture right at the end. In Matthew 27:42, the religious leaders said what probably most witnesses at Calvary were thinking. He saved others. He cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. If I had been a disciple, I would have been thinking, now, jump now, show them. But Jesus didn't, and they had buried him quickly because the Sabbath was coming. So that first Easter morning, heavy with grief, with disbelief, and probably wondering at least a little if Jesus was actually who he said he was, Mary heads to the grave to tend to his body. That despair, that was what the disciples felt on that first Easter morning, total and utter despair. That, and with their leader gone, they were living the question, now what? I love that even in their myriad of questions and probable doubt, what drove the disciples forward was love. They don't really understand the whys of their current situation, nor do they have any idea of what's going to come next for them, but their friend has just died a gruesome death, and his body needs to be taken care of, needs to be ministered to. Even in the chaos of the moment, even knowing they're going to have to face the Roman guards at Jesus' tomb, they go to tend their friend's body. It's the next right thing, probably the only thing at the moment that they can do. And then, from our vantage point, the vantage point of those of us who are privileged enough to know how the next few chapters of God's story unfolds, we think it should be clear. I mean, Jesus' body is gone. He's told them numerous times he would be raised from the dead. Surely the disciples can see that that's what's happened. Surely they now will understand that Jesus isn't gone. He has been raised. It is all true. But in their grief, they don't. Mary thinks, logically, based on how things have unfolded for the past week, that Jesus' body has been stolen. To her, in that moment, the empty tomb isn't a sign of joy, but a sign of yet more despair. Peter and the disciple Jesus loved raced to the tomb to see for themselves. Surely not. Surely in Jesus' death, the Romans got what they wanted. They've already killed Jesus. Surely they don't need to rub salt in the disciples' wounds by stealing Jesus' body too. But when they get there, it's true. The body is gone. But then the miracle occurs. After they see the abandoned burial cloths, John says they saw and believed. The miracle has indeed happened. Jesus has conquered death. It's funny, but the moment the miracle occurs is not when Jesus is risen, but when the disciples believe. It's true for all of us too. The thing may have already happened, but it's only when we actually believe that the miracle happens for us personally. As I was preparing for this podcast, I noticed that the burial cloths were in one place and the cloth that covered Jesus' face was rolled in another. It's an interesting detail, so I used what the Jesuits call my spiritual imagination to enter the gospel story myself. I wonder if Jesus himself sat up in the tomb and pulled his head covering off in a bit of shock from the trauma of the past few days. I think he had always known he was following the Father's will, but I'm not sure he knew exactly how that will would unfold. Jesus had definitely lived that last few days moment by moment, from sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane to, in the worst of his suffering on the cross, uttering, my God, why have you forsaken me? So at that moment, when Jesus removes his headcloth, after he'd endured the cross and his descent into hell, I wonder if he sat in the tomb and looked around in wonder. In almost disbelief, I wonder if he prayed in thanksgiving, oh my gosh, yes, I am risen. Then I can see Jesus in sheer joy jumping up, laying his head cloth to the side and rushing out of the tomb, shedding the other burial cloths as he goes. I am risen! I am risen! I love the idea of Jesus celebrating being raised from the dead, of finally being granted the full understanding that we too will receive someday. Somehow that seems so much more relatable to me. When I'm suffering, if I know with absolute certainty that my suffering will end, that it will be made good, it wouldn't make the suffering any more fun, but it might make it more bearable, and I might have less trouble sticking it out. But because we're human, we don't know that with absolute certainty. Yes, God has promised there's an end to suffering for us, but even if we believe in his promise, in the depths of our despair, we too may think, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is even more relatable if, as fully human, he also has questions. And those questions make his joy as he shed those burial cloths so much more real. In his humanity, Jesus lived any questions he had all the way to the end, all the way to the answers. And the end was, yes, God is victorious, and yes, death itself is indeed conquered. So today, as you enjoy life without one iota of any traditional Lenten guilt, know that Jesus fully understands, and he is with you with every bite of that delicious chocolate Easter bunny. He is risen, and may your joy in that fact mirror his own.
Let's go into this week ready to recognize and experience the presence of God, and to help others do the same.